All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, especially verse 15 and 16. There are so many places we could go in the Bible about time. It's a subject that pervades the scriptures, the importance of it, the use of it, the wasting of it as being a sin. There is one of the Psalms that was written by Moses, well, of course, the Holy Spirit through his servant Moses, and that's Psalm 90. And there are several verses there that talk about time. But Paul talked about it, and especially a place that I love that challenges me, that I think about every New Year, and that is the verse that says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You say, redeeming the time, doesn't redeem mean to buy it back? Yes. When time has gone away from us, we can't go back. We can't redeem what's already happened. We can't bring back yesterday. I know if we could time travel, I'd time travel back to when I was a kid and I first started messing up because I didn't know things. I mean, I should have been a better son. I should have been a better brother. I should have been a better friend. I should have been a better student. I should have surrounded myself in the company of those who were successful in what their passion in life had been, whether it be radio, communications, the areas of... I wish I'd been on the front end of knowing that how the computer would change the world, you know, and then have been a part of that, not just for being rich, but I mean for security purposes, how to build this into it, how to build that into it, how to protect our secrets, how to stop bad guys from being able to use it, and so on. But Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest or revealed by the light. For whatever makes manifest or whatever reveals is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Lord, we pray you bless our message now. Father, I always feel like I haven't prayed enough, no matter how much I pray. I always feel like I fall short of being the servant that I should be for you when it's time to meet with other Christians, when it's time to preach. But thank you that it's all of your grace and that you love to hear and answer prayer. I just pray that you would speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the book of Proverbs says several things about time. It says about our speech, what kind of words we're supposed to use to encourage one another, how pleasant words are sweet to the soul and health to the bones. It says our words can also be as swords that go deep into the heart of other people. We had a saying before that maybe you remember, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words could never hurt me, but words can hurt you. And especially if those words are from someone that you care about, someone that you've protected their reputation, things that when they weren't around and others started to speak evil of them, that you stood up for them. And then when these words come from them to you, and you find out what they really think about you, it can hurt. It can hurt for a long time. to be betrayed by someone you considered to be a friend. And so we need to realize, not only is Proverbs about those words, though, it's about time, the wise use of our time, and so on. But people that have a common education as everybody, they went to school just like we did, most of the time the government school, and have the same kind of talents we do, they make the same kind of wages we do, they use the opportunities of the minutes in a day that we have, the hours in a day that we have, and by their diligent labor, by their thoughtfulness and creativity, they improve themselves to be a greater blessing. They improve themselves to be have a greater influence. And what is the difference? It's because they use their time more wisely to study, to think. I mean, to really think is labor. Is our concentration is taken away so easily. Even when it comes time to pray, our thoughts wander. When it comes time to read our Bible, our thoughts wander. And let me say this up front so I can get to the rest of the sermon. But if you truly want to redeem your time, if you want to use it the most wisely, try to create a habit of prayer. By practicing the presence of God and realizing that God is with me all the time, He knows my heart, my mind, my soul. And if we'll practice His presence and pray, you know, realizing that He's real, He's watching, He loves to hear and answer prayer, and we begin to pray to Him, if we can get that habit, that is one of the best ways to redeem our time. Because we spend so many hours at work, we spend so many hours doing sleeping, that if we get into the habit of prayer, you're even going to be able to find yourself praying in your dreams, the ones you can remember. Our saying, God will take care of it. I've already talked to Him about it. In your dreams. You know, if we practice the presence of prayer, that was one of the best things to redeem our time. Because no matter if we're at work, or we're walking somewhere, or doing something with our hands at work, we can. You don't have to bow your head and close your eyes to pray. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray when if somebody in church says, Brother Ross, pray for me about this. I begin to pray already, and even though I'm looking at him in the eyes and I'm agreeing with him, I don't want to forget and then try to remember later. I want to be able to say, yes, I'll pray for you, and then begin praying already. And a lot of things that come into our minds from other places, good things, bad things, the devil's always ready there to fire his arrows of bad thoughts in your mind. Or our old nature, our old carnal flesh, to put bad affections, bad desires, and jealousies, envy, greed, lust, these type of things in our mind. If we practice the presence of God and pray, a lot of times we'll be caught up in thinking about other people's needs. What does my wife need? What does my son need? What does my friend need? What does our church need? And you'll find yourself taken up more in gainful things, creativity, energy, and so on. And plus, as we sang in the song about rest, a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. It is wisdom to use time prudently, redeeming the time. And I thought this would be a good New Year's message to share with you. It is foolishness in the Scripture to waste your time. We'll quote a few verses from Moses in the one psalm that he wrote. And this is one of those verses. He says to the Lord in his prayer, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And here it says, not as fools, but redeeming the time. Don't be wasting your time. And I'm going to share with you why. And if you've never really thought about the importance of time, you know, there's one thing that, you know, I can put up with a simple mistake that somebody makes at work. I have 14 guards under me at work. And the only person I'm accountable to is the owner of the these three warehouses, huge warehouses. One of them's over 1 million square feet. and the boss of my company. Everybody else comes to answer through me. And the thing that I cannot put up with is when a guard is supposed to start, open his post and start letting in the trucks for shipping or receiving at 7 a.m. and he doesn't show up till 7:15, 7:10, 7:20. And I've got trucks waiting out there for me. Because his tardiness, his abuse of time, his laziness is reflecting on me and my company, all the other guards that seem to make it on time, see? And what is he doing for the truck drivers that are waiting there? And in a sense with me as well. Time is what our life is made out of. We have all these activities, but we only have so much time. When I have to wait on somebody, somebody says, I'm going to meet you at 8:30 there. 8:30 comes and goes. 8:45 comes and goes. What did they just do with my life? They wasted it. They wasted my life. Because it's disrespect, it's a discourtesy, it's impoliteness. The polite thing to do is like what my son did this morning when he said, Dad, I'm going to be running a little bit late. I'll be there by such and such a time. Now I know I don't have to be waiting here with bated breath. I've got so much time to get other things done. I got this bonehead at work. I fired on Friday. He called the boss crying, my boss crying. He said, let him come back. But if he's ever more than 5 minutes late, send him home. You know, there's no reason why a man, a young man, can't be on time. And if he can't make it due to circumstances out of his control, why he can't call and say, hey, I'm running a little bit late. There's an accident on the freeway. There's construction in my area and they rerouted me. I'm going to be a little bit late. And so, but anyways, I'm just talking now. Let's get to the scripture. We see here the true nature of time. And let me just go through this quickly because I do want to get to the other points. The true nature of time. Like we said, time is the material of life. It is the measure of our earthly existence, an unrelenting river racing to the ocean of eternity. Right now, every new moment is caught between eternity past and eternity future. You remember the scriptures, how we taught, the only thing we can do about our past is learn from it and move on. Don't dwell on it. A lot of times what we dwell on in the past will discourage us. It's how we failed, what we should have said, how we should have acted, what we could have taken in college to where we could be much better off than we are today. How that we could be living in a home instead of a mobile home. We could be investing in our own house, our own property, instead of paying a landlord that doesn't really care, or so on. We think about those things in our past that can't be changed. All we can do is learn the lesson and move on. Like Paul said, he looked to the things before him. He looked ahead to meeting Christ. He looked ahead to being more like Jesus. He looked ahead to forward to things. But be careful, don't be looking in the future with fear. A lot of people look at the future with fear. They say, what's going on with this virus? What's going on with this new strain of the virus? COVID-19 has been transforming itself, and it's getting other people here and there. And so they're worried about this in the future, that in the future. Kim Jong-un, or whatever the Kim Jong's name is right now, and these other things that are going on. And the Bible says, do not worry, do not fret, do not fear, 365 times in the, well, it's 366 times in the Bible. One for every day of the year and an extra one for leap year. Do not worry. Do you remember my message a while back? Worry is sin. Don't worry. Worry is you saying, my God is not big enough. My God doesn't know this was going to happen. My God doesn't care enough for me. My God does not love me. My God is not behind this. The devil is behind this, and I don't think God is even watching. And so you worry about it and you fret about it. 99% of the things that I've been afraid of, that I was afraid was going to happen never came to pass. And the other percentage of it that did come to pass wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. And I found that God's grace and strength were sufficient for the ordeal. You know, we fret so much, we even worry in our dreams. We have nightmares in our dreams. We have fears in our dreams. We'll wake up in a cold sweat, or we'll have night terrors, and that's where we want to cry out, but we can't. We want to move, but we can't. We seem like we're frozen and stuck, and we're afraid. You know, God may not want you to be rich, but I know one thing he doesn't want is you to be afraid, because he said it over and over and over and over again in the scriptures. Fret not, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not worry. Jesus said that basically a lot. Do not be anxious over anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, means guard, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, the kind of leader that people like to follow is the one who's unafraid. And courage is not the absence of fear. It's the desire to move on, do what you're supposed to do in spite of your feelings, in spite of your fears, in spite of your worries. Go forward anyway. Well, I've chased a rabbit there. Benjamin Franklin said, "Do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of." I like that saying. To share your times with others is to share your life. And as others share their time with you, they're sharing their life with you. So don't take it lightly. Realize that this is your life, and it is slipping away. And so, time is in much demand. Not only is time the material of life, it is in much demand. The body uses a lot of time. Do you realize that if you live to be 70 years old, the average of your time spent in sleep is 25 years? If you live to be 70 years old, the time spent in sleep is 25 of those years. Let's move on. If you work a regular 40-hour week, 8 hours a day, in the 70 years that you live, you will have worked 20 of those years. Your education will have taken several years. But your soul, that which is going to last for eternity, is going to use about 3.5 hours a day, or 3.5 hours a week, going to church, driving to church, getting ready for church, 3.5 hours a week. But that only counts up to 1.5 years of your life preparing for eternity, preparing your soul for eternity. But if you learn to get in the practice of prayer, and if you learn to try to memorize a scripture, just one verse, until you got it completely memorized. Most verses are really short, and you can pick the ones that really speak to your heart. I know a lot of people that love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know others said to quote a whole psalm, and it's easy when you get to try it, but Psalm 23 is easy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. These are all following a cadence. It's almost poetry. And so that would be redeeming the time, but especially prayer. Time is in much demand. We spend so little of it. At the end of a 70-year life, we will have spent only average 1.5 years preparing our soul for eternity. 20 years sleeping. Over how many years at work? 20 years at work. 20 plus years at work. Then, not only is time in much demand, time is swift and it flees away. You know, tomorrow I'll go to work. They'll say, "How was your weekend?" And the first thing that comes to my mind every time is, "It went by so fast." And they said, "Doesn't it, brother?" Yeah, it does. It goes by too fast. And we've heard this before, the older you get, the faster it goes. That's true. When I was 14 and 15, waiting on turning 16 and getting my own car, that seemed to last forever. Now time just goes way too fast. I'm always asking somebody, what day is it? You know, is this the 27th? You lose track of time fast. We finish the rest of that psalm by, not the rest of it, but some more of that psalm by Moses, Psalm 90. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. And then another phrase of the scripture, let us just keep using scripture here. Our days on earth are as a shadow. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. My life is a breath. And then it says this again, we were born yesterday, and I know nothing because our days on earth are a shadow. Again, the scripture says, my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. And then the scripture says, in many words like this too, we're like a flower of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. But he comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And here's a verse you'll remember from the book of James. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Time is one of the greatest treasures we have. You can lose all other earthly blessings and recover them. So many have been the stories that men attained great wealth and were cheated by a business partner, and they lost everything. I was listening to one of those stories this week and how the guy came back more powerful. He'd lost everything and became discouraged, and he was just panhandling on the street corner when somebody came up and actually encouraged him, who had met him in a meeting years before when he was thriving in his business. And he came back and made millions and millions more. Because one minute, a lot of money. Another minute, panhandling on the street. And then the next and last part of his life, millions of more dollars than before. But he never forgot those in need, because he knew what it was to be in need at times too. So, time is one of our greatest treasures. You can lose your health and recover it. I remember my Aunt Jeannie, before she went to heaven, they said, how'd she die? I said, old age. She was up to what? Close to 90. And some of you were there at the funeral service for my Aunt Jeannie. But she had beaten leukemia twice in her life. And she had emphysema and lived for years beyond that. But still, if you talk to her, hey, Aunt Jeannie, is life go faster for you now than it did years ago? She said, you know, even though I'm old and I'm just a homemaker now, taking care of myself, I forget what day of the week it is all the time. And it's not just because I have a bad memory. It's because time is going so fast for me. And so you can recover things. If you can recover your health, you can recover your money. You can recover your life if you've been addicted to certain drugs or alcohol, and you either get so sick of it you quit one day, or you feel like you've wasted most of your life. Hey, that's why they call it recovery, isn't it? Or rehabbing. And so you can do greater things even halfway through your life, or when over half your life is over, or near the end. How many times have you ever heard the story of some grandma graduating from college with her degree in nursing or biology or something like that? I have, over and over again. She's 80 years old and just graduated from Harvard with her degree in law. The family are so proud. You know, you can do anything you dare to dream in America by God's grace and by redeeming the time. There is not one soul in hell that would not give everything they ever had and everything ever owned for 1 hour of your life. They would come to Jesus and seek his face, and they would pour out their hearts to him and ask him to forgive them for all their years of sin and rejecting him and turning their backs on him. I put it into this kind of word: my kingdom for a day, my fortunes for just an hour of yours, all I owned for time to look to Jesus for mercy. They would beg you, can I have just an hour of your life? My whole kingdom, everything I've ever owned, everything, I would give you for just a day of your life. Each moment is the meeting of two eternities, as we said. And how precious is that, that we stand in the middle of two eternities right now. Eternity past, where God always was. Eternity future, where God always will be. We're there in the middle right now. And so much of the Bible says that today, presently, now. Why? Tomorrow doesn't exist. It's only a hope. Tomorrow isn't here. And there's no guarantee of it. We say tomorrow, but we should say, by God's grace, if I have life, I want to do this tomorrow. Or I want to go there tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. You can't do a thing to change it. Maybe there's something you did. You can try to reconcile something you did that was bad in the past, or something you didn't say that you should have said. But you can't have that day back. So it's now, today, each moment. And then, as we leave the true nature of time, I have to move very quickly now. The use of time. It says here, redeeming the time. And so we should be wondering and thinking, what can I do to redeem the time? What can I do to make the most of my time? When I was in the military, we always had a word for the day, a knot of the day, and there was a phrase of the day. And it all had to do with shipping and Coast Guard or rescue, CPR techniques. We had to memorize it, because at any moment, any officer, even a second or third class petty officer, could come to you as an S1 or an S2 and say, what's the word of the day? And if you didn't know it, you could be running 5 miles around the island where my base was stationed, if you didn't know it. And so one day I heard this. One of them said, you know, every one of you guys goes to the bathroom every day. Do you know what you could do while you were in the bathroom? Take the list of the word for the day, the meaning of this, that for the day, and by the time you're done using the bathroom, you'll know all three of them. I never thought of taking anything to the bathroom to read, and then I remembered that I had an uncle that would take a newspaper, and seemed like it took him forever while he was in the restroom. You know, the thing is that that's one thing you can do to redeem the time. On your way to work, if you want to know the Bible better, if you want to read the Bible more, or let the scripture sink in better, there's all kinds of Bibles on CD. You can get all the scripture on your phone, and it barely takes up any, what do they call it, RAM or gigabytes or whatever. You can listen to the scripture on your way to work, on your way home. Maybe that'll keep you cussing at other drivers, too, for a while. The thing is, redeem the time. The use of time, the redeeming of time, to buy back, to recover. How can I do it? By saving all the time you can. If you like to sleep a lot, and I do, especially when I'm in pain. I don't like to deal with everything. It distracts me when I'm in so much pain. You say, you're in pain a lot, Brother Alan? Yes, I am. I have a migraine every day. And sometimes medicine won't work. And if you take too much, you're going to hurt yourself. But unnecessary sleep, frivolous TV. If you're going to watch TV, let it be something that is a part of your passion, is a you know, that really takes the time that you want to maybe restore your mind. There's so much on YouTube, if you got a smart TV, that you could be learning all kinds of great things. Whether it be history or biology, political science, scripture, you could learn all about the false religions, and you could be, you would know how to reject them and how to teach them how to be converted. You can do that. And they've got so many Bible programs on there. You got all these Bible programs, any version of the Bible you want, and you could listen to that as you go to sleep at night and have it still on when you wake up in the morning, and all night your subconscious be taking in the scripture. Redeeming the time. There was a blacksmith. Most people considered blacksmiths in the old days to be uneducated guys, just guys of brain and brawn. But to be a good blacksmith, you have to be pretty smart. To be a good truck driver, don't think all those guys are dummies. You have to be pretty smart to be a good truck driver. You've got to handle bills of lading, the money operations between these two companies on paperwork. You've got to not only know how to drive, but you have to know so much other things. You have to know if Conway and Fontana needs their load by 12 o'clock tomorrow, how you're going to get it there all the way from Cincinnati. And you're going to need a teammate and so on like that. So it's wise. But this blacksmith, his name was Elihu Burritt. He used his evenings after a hard day work to study ancient languages. This is true. By the age of 50, he had mastered over 40 languages, became a noted lecturer, a philanthropist, that's somebody who helps others, and an author. Over 40 languages a blacksmith learned by redeeming his time at night and chasing his passion. During the day, he had to work hard, but at night, that belonged to him. And he didn't waste any time. He had a passion to learn these languages, and it made him a very wealthy man. Saving 1 hour a day would save you over a day a month, 2 whole weeks a year, just by saving an hour a day. 2 whole weeks a year. The Heights, I love this poem. When I first heard it, I was just 20, 21 years old, and I never forgot it. The heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upwards in the night. Now you need your rest, but you'd be surprised maybe that you could cut an hour or two off of it and still feel good or feel even more energized. Now I know, with his recent injury, Jeremiah is going to need a little more rest for his body, for his ankle to heal up. Same with Teresa. And believe me, I want to rest more, because I'd rather be asleep, not knowing anything, than be awake with my head throbbing. Does it mean I don't work with that, without a headache or with that? I work with a headache. And kind of reminded me of that story of the guy that woke up with a pain in his neck, and I told him, "How's Judy anyways?" But anyways, laziness ruins the body. It dulls and poisons the mind, and it hurts others around you. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." If you want to be somebody that runs a crane, if you want to be one of the guys that runs a steamroller, if you want to lay and level off gravel, no matter what it is, have a passion for it and you'll get better and better. I know truck drivers, you probably have too, Philip, that will drive a Freightliner 10-speed and they never have to push the clutch to change the gear. Now you and I would have to, but they don't. Do you know why? They had a passion to be the best truck driver they could be. And so they know how to, what they call, float or glide. Just by listening to the RPMs or watching the speedometer, they just, boop, move it into second. Not touching the clutch. They hit the, hear the next one, then boop, into third gear. Never touching the clutch. About the only time they touch it is when they need to brake at a stoplight or something, right? And they'll do that then. But to be so good at something, whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says, do it with your might. Put your person into it. Put your passion into it. Don't just be one, like a dead fish floating along with the stream. It takes a live one to swim against it. You know, salmon are amazing creatures. Because I saw a video of them this week again. When I watch YouTube, I always want to learn something. I always want to see something I haven't known or seen before. And these salmon in certain areas, they've got to wait for the rain to come and wash over the road just long enough. And you see them swimming to the other side on the road. That passion. Any old dead fish can float along with a stream. It takes a live one to swim against it. But you know what you're going to find too? Is you're going to find obstacles. And you've got to beat those. I remember working at the textile mill in North Carolina. And I'd put all this yarn for athletic socks on these lines. And all these women would use it to spin it up and then sell it to wherever they made the socks at. I wanted to be the best. I was just a baby Christian, but I wanted to be the very best at what I did. And it wasn't long before I was. And that's not because others weren't trying. It's because others were not trying like I was. And I soon became the best. And you know what thanks I received? Why are you working so hard? The boss is not here today. Why are you trying to make us look bad? Why are you doing so much? Now we have to try to keep up. You put your passion into it. Be the best you can be. If you're in customer service, be the sweetest customer service person these people ever met. Go out of your way to be more helpful. Go the extra mile, Jesus said. And so by saving all the time you can, by cherishing diligence and the pleasure of working, there are a lot of people in this world that for them to be able to get up and walk, get out of bed and do what you're doing, they would love it. It would be a vacation for them to leave that room, to leave that rest home, to leave that what do they call it, like a nursing home when you've had an injury or something, you're trying to recover. They'd love to be out doing what you're doing. Even your job, Philip, riding around with a bunch of rascals and dropping them off here and there. Of course, it gets old quick, but they would love it for at least just a week of their lives. So do and thank God for what he's given you to do by paying attention to the most important things. No time is ever lost that is spent in prayer with God. You cannot worship him too much. You cannot praise him too much. You cannot be instructed by him too much. Your soul is built for eternity. A tithe of your time would be 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. But none of us really spend that with the Lord, do we? But if we learn to pray all the time, just talk to God about anything. They say a mark of a genius is them talking to themselves and being lost in what they're thinking about. Well, as long as it's a good thing, yeah, that's pretty genius. And so if you're always talking to him, most take less than 3 hours a week for a church and so on. Now, I went over, but here we go for just a quick run through of the last things. There's a motive to the wise use of your time. It says, redeeming the time. Here's the motive, because the days are evil. Your days are uncertain in number and full of unseen dangers. Like I've said before, they told my friend, and he told me, doctor's given me 6 months to live. I said, but you know that none of us are promised that much time. None of us are promised tomorrow. If I knew I had 6 months to live, I'd want to fill it up with the closest relationships I've had. Everybody that knows me, that's my friend, that goes to church with me, they're going to hear I love yous. I'm going to spend my time wiggling my way into everybody's heart so they never forget me. I'm going to spend my time doing the best I can with all I have to whoever needs it the most. Your days are uncertain in number, full of unseen dangers. We may only have a few days left at the most. And so the scripture says, boast not yourselves of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. Yesterday, like we said, it's past forever. Tomorrow is just a hope. Today is all you have, and it is swiftly passing away, moment by moment. Your time will be under attack by temptation and sin. The old devil's going to raise Cain with you. The old nature will seek to ruin and waste your appointed time by laziness and foolishness and fritting away the hours because somehow you think you're going to live in this world forever. Well, you live somewhere forever. And if you have Christ, you'll live in heaven forever. But in this life, you only have so much time. The vanity fair of this world to seek to steal your life on foolish pursuits. Satan will oppose your time with Jesus, with your family, with the fellowship of inventing time for riches in eternity. Have you wasted enough of your life with sin and selfishness? Your days may be interrupted by sickness or suffering. You may find yourself laid up in the hospital or with some physical ailment. And sometimes these physical ailments take a long time to heal. And sometimes you may be one who won't be able to get out of bed, if ever, for the rest of your life. Your days will be interrupted by sorrows that come and break your heart and depress you for days unless you know how to seek the Lord. Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming in which no one shall work. And that night of God's judgment may be tonight. We don't know. So make wise use of time. As we apply it quickly, yesterday is gone. Take its lessons and make restitution today. The past has its shame and stains and shameful memories and good memories. But today is still before you as a clean page. You can write on it what you want to with God's grace. You stand right now between two eternities with multiplied trillions who would give everything for just one of your days. Why should a living man complain? Jeremiah said. Again, Jeremiah said, a living dog is better than a dead lion. Beethoven wrote beautiful music. The Moonlight Sonata is one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever heard in my life. But Beethoven can't write any music anymore. A living dog is better than a dead lion. I may be a dog. I may be just a little mutt dog. But I'm greater than Charles Spurgeon because he's gone. I'm greater than General Patton because he's gone. I'm greater than Abraham Lincoln because he's not here. But I'm a living dog. There's so much that I can do that those great men cannot do. Do you have more to do with Jesus? Can you do more for him who gave you his all and deserves your everything? Can you be more faithful? Strive to do it this new year. Are you redeeming your time to prepare for eternity? Seek to do it this new year. Start a clean page. Every day is pure and white. And but with you walking with God, you can write on it whatsoever you will and change the story of your life if you want to. Begin preparing today for eternity and then be especially in earnest if God lets you live to a new year and a new life. Prepare to meet your God, the scripture says. Prepare to meet him. In Isaiah 1:18, come now, he says, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he says, God saying this, and in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. I know a little bit of Spanish. I tease my Spanish-speaking friends by when they try speaking to me in Spanish because they think I know a lot more than I do. Then I don't understand everything. And so I say, yo no habla español. Yo habla cholo, chicano. Because that's where I learned most of my Spanish. Guess what I want to do this year? I want to be able to understand everything they say. And I want to know how to say it just like they do. You know, if I could do that, I bet you Pastor Benitez would let me preach to the Spanish families in our church. I won't need a, what do they call it? They call them translators, but what they are is interrupters. And I'd rather do it without an interrupter or interpreter. I'd rather be able to speak freely. Who's the majority in Southern California? They're starting to lose it. And in the next 13, 14 years, they're going to be outnumbered by the Asians that have been moving in. But it's the Hispanic community. It's our Latino brothers and sisters. And I would love to be able to communicate with them and ask them if I could borrow some money. I had to get you back a little bit there. I want to be able to do that. If I was surrounded more by Asians, I'd want to know how to speak, what is it, Tagalog or?
Tagalog.
Tagalog? I'd want to learn how to, if I moved to the Philippines or somewhere, I'd want to know exactly what they're saying about me in the grocery line. As they start laughing about me behind my back. I want to know what, the thing is, I want to know. And so this year, I want to learn how to speak Spanish fluently. And then I could get on the radio and say, Viva los güeros! It means, long live the white boys. Right, you're right, Victor. That's not what I would say. I'd say, Usted necesita Jesucristo en tu corazón, en tu alma. You need Jesus Christ in your heart, in your soul. Then they'd say, well, then I'd say, yo no habla español, yo habla cholo. All right. Heavenly Father, bless our time together. Please forgive me where I rambled, but use that which may have touched somebody's heart, even if it was just a little while. And let it burn, let it grow, let it create a hunger and thirst in their souls, in their lives, to have a goal and to redeem the time and make them passionate about something. Make them passionate about something you created them to do. And Lord, bring them good success in this year. Not just monetarily, Lord, but in their usefulness, and they're striving for excellence and lifting up others around them who need to see a good example of somebody who's not wasting their life, not wasting their time, not wasting their creativity and the things that you made them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How do you say, how can I borrow some money from you in Spanish, Brother Victor? ¿Tienes dinero, amigo? You said earn your own. It's still recording, Brother Philip, even though I turned it off. You're going to have to edit these closing comments because I'm not sure if Victor said something in Spanish that was... Yes? You want me to press it again? Okay.